Just keep on keeping on. In life, we all have an opportunity to experience some successes. There are times in life wherein we do succeed at some of the things that we try. There may have been many things that we wanted in life, and God saw fit to give us some of those things that we wanted. Perhaps it did not come as quickly as we wanted it to come, but it finally came. All of the wants and all of the desires that we had in our hearts, that God allowed it to come to pass. We wanted to go to school and earn that degree, and God made possible that we earn that degree. We wanted to have a good paying job so that we could provide for ourselves and our families, and God enabled us to get a fairly decent job and make a fairly decent wage so that we might be able to provide for ourselves and also for our families. But also God, who made possible that we might be able to work on a job for many, many years, then be able to retire with relatively good and decent health. And all of that is because God is one that gives us success in life. For truly, God does not always give us what we need, but it's also true that God will sometimes give us what we want. And so therefore, as we travel through life, we discover that God will somehow give us success. But it is also God that allows struggles to come our way. That if you live this life at all, you eventually will struggle in life. You struggle to get the job, and then you have to struggle to keep the job. You struggle, my brothers and sisters, to get the college of your choice, and then you got to struggle in order to stay in the college or the university. You struggle to lose weight. And then you got to struggle to keep it off. And that is simply because in this life that what happens to us is that not only do we have success, but we also have struggles. There was a new kind of plane that was on its first flight. It was full of reporters and it was full of journalists. But a little while after takeoff, the captain's voice was heard over the loudspeaker. "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be your pilot for this plane's historic first flight. And I can tell you the flight is going well. Nevertheless, I have to tell you about a minor inconvenience that has occurred. The passengers on the right side can, if you look out of your window, you'll see that the closest engine is slightly vibrating. But that shouldn't worry you, because this plane is equipped with 4 engines, and we are flying along smoothly at an acceptable altitude." The captain then went on to say, "As long as you're looking out of the right side, you might as well look at the other engine on the other side. You will notice that it is glowing, or more precisely, one would say, it's burning. But that shouldn't worry you either, as this plane is designed to fly with just 2 engines if necessary. We are maintaining an acceptable altitude and speed. But as long as you're looking out of the plane, those on the left side shouldn't worry if you look out your side of the plane and notice that the engine that is supposed to be there is missing. It fell off about 10 minutes ago." The captain then went on to say, "Let me tell you that we are amazed that the plane is doing as well without it. However, I call your attention to something that's a little more serious. Along the center aisle, all the way down the plane, you'll see that a crack has appeared. And I suppose that some of you are able to look out through the crack, and you may even notice the waves of the Atlantic Ocean below. In fact, those of you with very, very good eyesight might be able to notice a small lifeboat that was thrown from the plane. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be happy to know that your captain is keeping an eye on the progress of the plane from that lifeboat below." We all got some struggles in life. But then it is also true that we have sadness in life. That every now and then a little rain will fall and you have to cry sometimes. If you find somebody and if you encounter somebody that is always happy-go-lucky, seem as though they never have a care in the world, I want you to know that they are nothing more than a great pretender. Because the truth of the matter is that all of us will cry sometimes. Someone once made the observation that we are sometimes up, sometimes down. They went so far to say that on occasion we feel as though we are pressed to the ground. The writer of Ecclesiastes, he summed it up like this. He said, there's a time to laugh, and there's also a time to weep. And so as we journey through life, we do have periods of sadness. It is also true, my brothers and sisters, that in the text that I've read and shared with you this morning, we find that David is now experiencing a period of sadness in his life. David has had his successes. He's also had his struggles, and he's also had his sadness. David had his success when he defeated Goliath the giant. He also had his struggles when he found himself confronted with one enemy after another. And he also had his periods of sadness when Saul turned against him and wanted to take his life. And so as David began to look at his own life, he began to realize that he had a myriad of experiences. And much like David, all of us, we too have had a myriad of experiences. But David, in the text that I read this morning, we find that David is sad because of a battle. The reason that David is sad this morning is because of a battle involving the Amalekites. But David had left Ziklag, and now he's returned to Ziklag. And when he comes back to Ziklag, he finds that the city is burned. The city is in total ruins. And as a result of that, David is now sad because of what David now sees. And I want you to know this morning that whenever you are engaged in a battle, that battles can bring about a certain level of sadness to your heart. You're battling with temptation on one hand and stress on the other, it can make you a little bit sad. When you're battling with sickness and disease, it can make you sad. When you're battling with temptation, it can make you sad. So the Bible says here that David is sad, and he's sad because of the battle. David is also sad this morning because of the brutality. Because what happens is that when the city is burned, they don't just kill the people in the city, but what happens is that they take the people captive. Not only do they just take people captive, but they take the wives of the men, their sons and their daughters. They're taking all of them captive out of Ziklag. David's two wives, they've also been taken captive, and all of David's men, their wives have also been taken captive. There is a great separation that has occurred between David's men and their family members. And I believe this morning that you all would agree with me that whenever there is a separation, that it brings about enormous sadness. So it is that David is now sad simply because of the brutality of the Amalekites. But then, too, David is sad this morning because of the betrayal. Because what happens in the text is that the men of David, David's men, they are angry and they are frustrated because their wives, their sons, and their daughters have been taken captive. And because of their own frustration and because of their own hurt and their own pain, they now want to take it out against somebody. And guess who the person is? They want to take it out against David. They're now angry, they're now upset with David because of what has taken place. At one point, they were celebrating David, but now they want to stone David. Isn't it strange that one moment they were saying that Saul has killed 1,000, and David has killed 10,000. But now they want to stone David to death. And one of the things I've come to understand about life is that hurting people, they want other people to hurt like they hurt. People that are frustrated, they want to frustrate other people because they are frustrated. Someone once summed it up like this. They said that misery loves company. And so if you find somebody that's having a bad day, you better watch out because they're going to make your day bad too. And that is simply what is happening here in the text. They are angry and they are upset with David. And so now they have contemplated stoning David. And so because of how they are feeling towards David, and David feels that he has now been betrayed, David is now starting to think that his leadership is ineffective. He began to think that maybe he made some unwise decisions, because you must know the background of the text is that what has happened is that David left out of Judah, and he went to the camp of the Philistines because Saul was after him. And while in the camp of the Philistines, David is now about to go into battle, but he's not going into battle against the enemy, but rather he's about ready to go into battle against Judah, against his own people. But in the process of getting ready to go into battle against Judah with the Philistines decide that maybe David will not battle his own people. So now they send David back to Ziklag, because they were afraid that David would turn colt on them. And so when David gets back to Ziklag, that's when he finds that the city has been burned. And not only is the city burned, but all of the people have been taken captive. And so David's men are now angry with David. They are upset with David, because they are thinking to themselves, if David had not brought us out here, this never would have happened. And so now David is questioning this leadership, and because he's being betrayed, he's now thinking that his leadership is ineffective. Here, David is now at a point in his life because of the betrayal that now he's began to think that he is isolated from everybody else. Nobody wants anything to do with David. They have shunned David. At one point, they were buddy-buddy with David, but now they want to have anything to do with him. And so now David feels as though he is isolated and that he doesn't have a friend in the world. Here is David. In the midst of the betrayal, David is now feeling as though he can be inspired by God. Just think about this for a moment, that in spite of all that David is going through, David realizes that even though he's at a low point in his life, that God can still inspire him. And so what the Bible said, that in the midst of his sadness, David declares that I will be encouraged by the Lord. It is David that makes up in his own mind that he will let the Lord encourage him. He said that I will be encouraged myself in the Lord my God. And I want anybody this morning to understand that if you've ever been betrayed, if someone has ever turned their backs on you, don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Don't get mean-spirited. But understand that that might be an opportunity for the Lord to do something in your life that you have never before experienced. That what God might be able to do for you is that God might lift you, and God might take you someplace that you could never go had that never happened. And so what David said that I will encourage myself in the Lord. How is it that David goes about encouraging himself? Well, first of all, the way in which David encourages himself is that David is transparent. David is willing to admit that he's in distress. Notice what David says in the text. In verse 6, David says that he was greatly distressed. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, I've been around a lot of hurting people in my life. And oftentimes when people are hurting, they don't want to admit that they are hurting. They don't want to acknowledge that they are hurting. But I want you to know that if you're hurting, you need to acknowledge that you're hurting. And that if you're burdened, you need to acknowledge that you're burdened. And that if you need the restorating power of God moving in your life, you've got to admit that I need to be restored. You don't need to go around thinking that you're Superman and you're Superwoman. You don't need to go around thinking that you don't need anybody to help you out. David said, I'm in distress. And so David was willing to be transparent. And I want to raise a question with you this morning. Are you willing to be transparent? Are you willing to be honest with yourself and begin to confess to God that I need you, that I'm burdened, that I can't deal with this by myself? David himself was transparent. And because of his willingness to be transparent, God is going to do something mighty in David's life. It is also because David was tough that David would be inspired by God. If there is one thing that can be said about David, is that David was a tough man. And the reason that I know that David was tough is that early on in his life, when David battled against the lion and the bear, David showed that he was a tough man. And then when David stood up before Goliath the giant, David showed that he was a tough man. David was somebody that would not run from a fight, but David knew how to run to a fight. Not running from the burning building, but David would run to the burning building. David was a tough man. And I believe that every now and then that God allows trials and tribulations to come to prove to us how tough we really are. For you don't know how tough you are until you got to go through something. You don't know how tough you really are until you go through something and you thought that you would not be able to stand, but the power of God, that God enabled you to stand. And when you look back over, you began to say to yourself, how did I ever make it? And the way that you made it, the power of God began to move in your life. And now you can stand up and declare, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Because David was tough. And because of the toughness of David, he would be inspired by the hand of God. It is also true that the reason that David will be inspired by God is because David was trusting in the power of God. David did not trust in men, but David knew how to trust in God. And so I believe that when David looked around, he saw that everybody had turned against him. David knew one thing, and that is that if others forsake me, that God will be there to lift me up. Because it was David that declared, I will bless the Lord at all times, and that his praises shall continually be in my mouth. David was saying, I'll bless the Lord in good times, and I'll also bless the Lord in bad times. I'll bless the Lord when there's a crowd standing with me, and I'll bless the Lord when nobody else is standing but me. And because David was always trusting in God, David knew that he could be inspired by God. And so David said that I will encourage myself in the Lord. And so then David turns and he prays to God. And David asks of God, should I go after this troop? Should I go after those who have destroyed the city of Ziklag? Should I go after those who have taken wives and sons and daughters? And God says to David, pursue. He tells David, go after them. David put on the ephod, the priestly garment, and he's now praying before God, and God gives David the answer. And you know how the story ends. David pursued. And the Bible said that David, not only did he kill the Amalekites, but he also got back the wives, the sons, and the daughters. Basically, what God was saying to David, just keep on keeping on. And I want somebody to know this morning that whatever you're going through in life, just learn to keep on keeping on. It might get lonely sometimes, but keep on keeping on. You might have to cry sometimes, but keep on keeping on. For there's a blessing in store if you can keep on running. And if you don't get weary, there is a blessing. If you learn to keep your hand in God's hand, just keep on keeping on. And if you don't believe, there's a blessing if you keep on keeping on. The cross at Calvary tells all of us what happens when you keep on keeping on. Jesus Christ was led from judgment hall to judgment hall. But he learned how to keep on keeping on. They placed him on an old rugged cross. But he knew how to keep on keeping on. They laid him in a borrowed grave, but he knew how to keep on keeping on. And so because of that third day morning, because he knew how to keep on keeping on, God raised him from the grave. And I want you to know this morning, God will do the same thing for you. But you got to learn to keep on keeping on. You're going to cry sometimes, but just keep on going. You're going to get weary sometimes, but keep on going. The way might get dark sometimes, but keep on going. If you can't walk, run. If you can't run, crawl. But keep on going. Because there's a great camp meeting in the promised land, but you gotta keep on going. Don't you get weary, children. Don't you falter. And don't you fail. Just keep on keeping on.